We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This year in the NFBC main event, there are the top 14 teams in their standings, all drafted online, 27 of the top 30. We'll talk about that phenomenon. We'll talk about Fab strategy and the latest news of the day with my friend Rob DiPietro from Deadpool Hitter coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Jeff Erickson here. I am here with my friend Rob DiPietro from Deadpool Hitter Podcast. It is one of the most thoughtful, thorough podcasts you can find out there. Rob crushes it in the Draft Champions Leagues, and he's an all-around good guy, an all-around good fantasy player. Very happy to have you join me now. And also, great gardener, too, by the way. I don't want to forget about that. Rob, what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure to come on the RotoWire podcast. And it's been a crazy, hectic baseball year as usual. And I was just telling you, I can't believe you do so much football. You must be spinning around like a maniac, but God bless you. And yeah. You're a huge inspiration, man. You really work just as hard as anyone out there. And it's awesome to see, you know?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. August and September are bonkers, but yeah. In a good way, you know, it's great. It's just like, you know, you just have stretch run in baseball. Unfortunately, I have teams that are worth really tracking hard, and also football drafts going left and right. It's what we do. We enjoy doing that. So it's all good. I get to talk about that for a living. So much to talk about here. Let's talk news first. I want to start off on top about with Max Fried. We saw the tumble he took in his start against the Mets over the weekend. He pitched after that. He was trying to field on a bunt play, hit his head on the ground, got looked at for a little bit, and they were like, okay, he's fine. Well, he went on the concussion injured list today. And it just reminds us that concussions are always these tricky beasts, and we never know when they're fully when you're fully out of the woods with this.
Yeah, absolutely. My kind of thinking is too, maybe they just took advantage of being able to put him on the IL and get him ready for the Mets series next week instead of throwing him against the Marlins, you know. it's always tough with the concussions because they could just linger around, and hopefully, you know, as a Met fan, you know, I would love to not have to face him. But it's interesting because I guess I never really understood the effects of it for a pitcher, right? I mean, we always see a guy get hit in the head or a collision for a batter, right. And it affects his plate skills possibly to see the ball, hit the ball. So pitching-wise, I guess it's just, you know, having that balance to, you know, step and throw and continue that motion continuously. So but going forward, I wouldn't be too worried about Max Fried.
Yeah. It's interesting that we've seen concussions sometimes last longer in baseball than they have in other sports. Both Joe Mauer and Justin Morneau had really lengthy bouts with concussions. And my friend and colleague Chris Liss always speculated that maybe because, like, in football, you get constant contact. You're getting hit all the time. There's a tolerance that's built up, or yes. You're accustomed to it a little bit. Whereas with baseball, not so much. So when you do get one, perhaps it has a more lasting effect.
Yeah, that makes total sense, actually. I totally agree with that because you're just smashing into, helmets into helmets, and you kind of know what that feels like. So, even training, practicing, you're doing all those, little side smashes that, kind of add up into, big spots. So, yeah, that's a good correlation by Mr. List there.
Indeed, indeed. He had a lot of things that were pretty smart over the time there. So, and still does.
Yep, still
So,
does.
but
Yeah.
Frieda, this is three straight really good years of ratios. 108 WHIP this year, 260 ERA. It wasn't as good as 2020, but that was in the truncated season where you got to kind of pick your spots. But last year, 304, 109 was like a really good year. 14 wins. He was on pace for a similar sort of results so far, 10 and 4, 260 and a 108. It's not a huge strikeout guy, which is probably a thing that moves him down a little bit. But I almost kind of wonder. He's not like a guy that spits fire on the mound. He doesn't throw 98, but he's effective. And I wonder if, that preserves him arm-wise a little bit better, makes him in some ways a more stable investment starting pitcher-wise.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Yeah, he's a guy I have not drafted yet, and I think my two like three years in the NFBC, I have not had him yet on a roster. I don't know if it's a flaw of mine, if I'm missing something. I guess I'm more of the chasing the high K upside, but he's just a really solid pitcher and plays on a good team. He's going to give you that chance to get wins, and he just seems to continuously, find ways to incrementally get better. So, he's been a surprise. I didn't think he was going to get to this level of that pitch to contact, get around by, not striking a lot of guys out, but he doesn't walk guys either. So that's huge. He's just a really good pitcher all around.
Yeah, and you compare like this era versus like 10 years ago, that K percentage 20 in the 20s, low 20%, low 20%. That used to be a really good strikeout percentage, but we're in such a crazy era now where we're expecting more than a strikeout per inning from our elite pitchers. I think sometimes we get a little greedy with that, but I will definitely kind of knock him up a couple pegs on my list just because of the consistency at this point. And
Yep.
maybe the thought being he's less prone to an arm injury. We'll see. That's someone to be something to think about for ponder over the offseason. I know you're doing a first look at a 2023 draft champions mock next week. I'm really looking forward to that. It's going to be on Zoom. Who else are you getting in that draft?
And yeah, it's actually not going to be a mock. We're going to put it
Oh,
into
you're
the
going to play
NFC.
it?
Yeah.
Oh,
We're going to play it
beautiful.
out. We're going to
That's
do
awesome.
six rounds now live on a Zoom, and then I'm going to put it on my podcast. And then we're going to pick it up as a slow draft once the NFBC gets their formats up and running. So it's going to be pretty cool. Right now I have Brian Slack will be in it, Steve Weimer, Zach Waxman, Jenny Butler, Ryan Bloomfield, Ryan Roof,
Jeez, murderers row here.
Michael Mager, Dan Kenyon. Man, yeah, it's just
So don't expect to compete in the overall with this league then.
No, this is gonna be probably my worst team I do all year. It's just a good, good squad of solid players. Bubba is gonna be in it too as well.
Nice.
I know I'm leaving the names off the top of my head, but it's we're all kind of excited to like get the because I just got the idea because I hear you and Fred were talking about it. You and Scott were talking about, J Rod. I think J Rod was the biggest spur of it. It
Oh,
was just
yeah.
like, where is he going to go next year? Where is he going to go next year? And Eno and DVR were talking about it constantly too. So I said, you know what? Let's see where he's really going to go next year soon,
Why not?
So
Yeah.
yeah, why not get it together? And I think it'll be fun. I know a lot of us have the eyes on, closing out our leagues in a stretch run, but I always try to look at what I'm going to gain from diving into a specific thing, and maybe this will take my eye off a little bit of the end of the season, but I think it'll kind of maybe I'll catch something for the rest of the season that I'm not really paying attention to, so, and I already
Right.
have actually. I already kind of started diving in. I was looking at some rest of season projections and per 600 plate appearances, and some guys like really surprised me. So You know, kind of like squeeze them into my watch list on the NFBC. So, but I'm excited for that.
Very cool. You know, I often feel like sometimes we're in this talking in the same circle. We talked all the time, but
yeah.
Not everybody knows that Rob won the NFBC Draft Championship overall contest a couple of years ago. And so, if you want to do well in DCs, you should be paying attention to this because Rob knows this stuff. Do you think that's still your strongest format?
I do think so. I feel like I do have a good sense of keeping it boring, I guess, with my picks and just locking into guys who I trying to just maybe project and play in time for the, you know, throughout the whole depth chart a little better than, most, I guess. But this season, I've had several teams doing really well, but then I had like a personal thing that came up in the winter and I stopped drafting and like probably the end of December, I already had four or five teams in that were all my best teams. Then after that, I think I got back into it after 2 months and I just didn't pay attention to news and all those teams are doing really well. Like I look at them, but that's what happens when you buy a 9-pack and you're forced to like fill out the rest of the leagues, you know? So yeah. I was like, I had to draft all these teams and, oh man, it was just, and I think at one point I just had too many going on at once. I think I had three, and that was just, even if it's slow, I just didn't know who I was picking from what team. Sometimes I just felt like it was just one big blur and I was like, oh, I can't do this again. But I think I've gotten better, in the main event, for sure. So I think I think the fab leagues are really starting to become closer to my draft champion skills. Maybe I'm really happy like how much better I got, I think, in the 12s from last year in the OCs. I really love the deep leagues and the 12 team fab. I just didn't really nail it last year like I should have. I held on to guys too long. Yeah, I talked to like John Posma about it, you know, the new Hall of Famer, and you know, Jeff Zimmerman plays and they're just ruthless with the drops, you know. And I was like, I can't drop Brandon Nimmo. He's like, you know, how do you drop Brandon Nimmo? Right. Get rid of him. Dream the new guy. But what's shocking is that I haven't really, in the OC this year, I played to draft more pitching so I could stream pitching off my bench and stream some hitters off the wire. But I ended up with this large group of guys that I didn't want to drop because they were all like playing all the time. And what's crazy is that for at-bats right now, I'm first and second overall in the online championship in at-bats. Like two of my separate teams are first and second. And I haven't really been trying to maximize it via fab. So somehow it just landed on that. But my home runs and my runs per plate appearances aren't really great. So I don't know if I should be maximizing better players or just going for better matchups instead of leaving, you know, some of my players in there. So I have to do a little dive into that next year.
Yeah. I wonder if the max at bat approach applies better in the 15 teamers, the deeper that you go and certainly in a draft and hold when you can't replace by fab. I imagine that really applies well, much better than that sort of format.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing for draft champions is just, you really have to understand when to pick your spots, when to go for some high upside guys, but really, just, you know, in my early days of podcasting, I had Steve Weimer on the show and he came in second overall twice. And he's always in the top of the list for plate appearances and at-bats. And, you know, he's just said beautiful, boring is beautiful. Like those picks that, you know, no one wants, the guys who just accumulate 500 plate appearances and just having that depth everywhere, having your eighth outfielder still be a 500 plate appearance guy and not a possible call up is just always going to keep you in the loop of producing stats. And I think that you have to, that was my toughest thing coming from like home leagues into NFBC, like draft champions. And that's just like love, you know, play keeper leagues in all my life. And it's just always allure to the rookies and to the new guys. And, you know, I had to peel back and try to, you know, look at that bigger picture.
So does that mean you're basically avoiding the Julio Rodriguez's of the year each year?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have him in any draft champions. I only have him on one online champion, which was an earlier March draft when there really wasn't a good bank on him, you know, staying around. And right. And I think it was like a 23rd round pick or something, 24th round pick. I got lucky with that one. But yeah, I try to stay away from that because even if you're keen on them getting called up, they still have to play well, you know? And I think right. for every Witt, you know, Witt last year hurt a lot of people who held on to him in mm-hmm. Fab Leagues or who drafted him in DC. Obviously they're crushing it now, but they're just, they're the exceptions, you know, they are not the standard for the.
Yeah. For every the Julio, there's probably one and a half Jared Kelnicks, you know, too.
Yes.
That did get the call. Yes. You held on to him while they're slumping this whole time, held on to him for the first couple of weeks of his demotion, and you still didn't get the payoff. And that's year two of this also with Kelnick even. So it's even rougher for him. But, yeah.
And I think in the last 2 years, too, it's like it's different because of the COVID year and then the minor league guys not having that year and, you know, to play. So I think a lot of us were kind of maybe, at least I was hesitant on, you know, what they were going to be able to accomplish, you know, but now we see some, it's interesting trends of like the double A guys coming straight from double A and being really successful, especially right, the guys in the Braves.
Yeah. I was just going to say, so Vaughn Grissom comes up and I know you just did a Fab podcast, so we can talk about that, but Vaughn Grissom just comes up, hits a home run for his first major league hit. I don't know if he plays all through September because they're going to get Albies back at some point, but I mean, how aggressive should we be on Vaughn Grissom?
Oh man, I think we might have to be pretty aggressive.
Yeah,
because I do have Albies. I picked up Albies in a couple of leagues about a couple of weeks ago. You know, just okay. speculating on you know trying to get him early. I think I got him for $7 in like an auction league and an online championship. I was like, okay, you know, worth the hold on to him. But you know, Vaughn Grissom, he looks the part. You know, and he doesn't strike out in the minors and his WRC plus was through the roof. And it just seems like the Braves have their pulse on when it's right to call these guys up. And I've read a couple of different scouting reports on him. I know Jeff Ponce kind of thinks that he won't be like the burner he'll be in the minors. And I know Jeff Zimmerman just released an article on Fangraphs. I haven't read it yet about translating AAA and AA stolen base totals into the major leagues because of the pitch clocks and because of all the things that they're experimenting with in the minors. So it's not the same when they're coming up to the majors. So the speed, you know, speed aspect of it is something we have to watch out for because I think Esteri Ruiz kind of didn't look like he was just going to steal everything in the majors. So he might have been the first, you know, look into that. But I think if you need help up the middle, that this is going to be a guy that you're probably going to have to jump on. Like he impressed me last night watching him.
Yeah, me too. And I'll say this, my best main event team does have Michael Harris. In fact, I have two 15 teamers where I picked up Michael Harris and that's just been like total windfall for me there.
Right.
So yeah, I do buy into the Braves narrative. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole lot of fab left in that league, so I probably won't be able to land Grissom, but that's okay. I mean, at least I'm going to I think the guy I'm neck and neck with, you know, he's got less fab than me at least. So if I can't get him, at least he can either. So there's that.
Right. Right. It's a guy in 10th who has like, you know, $700 left. He can get him.
But that guy might pass me in stolen bases or something too. You never know. That's the tricky part about that there. Right. So we'll see. Yeah. But in fact, now I'm really curious to see who does have the fab because now
I wonder if he's ever played other spots in the minors besides second. I wonder if he has an ability to move around. Not that they, you know, need him anywhere else. This could just be a strictly, you know, Arcia went down and he was their best option, you know? And, but if he plays well, I'm sure they'll find a spot for him.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel too. So, I'm just, while we're here, I'm just going to go ahead and add him to my James Anderson termed waterfall right now. So,
yep. Gotta add him to the waterfall. Yep.
Yeah, I've only got $53 of FAB left in this league. I kind of was a little too aggressive. But, you know, first place in FAB is 401 in our league. There's only like six teams that have 100 or more. Doug Ross at 101, so he's close. But, you know, unfortunately, Posma is one of the guys that has more than 100. So I always got to worry about him. I did two mains this year, and I got stuck with John in both. I mean.
Oh, my God.
I don't like that.
Oh, that's my unfair. God. Yeah, he's a good. Stud. He's so good.
Such a nice guy, too. That's the thing. Yeah, I want to hate on him a little bit more, but I can. He's a nice guy.
Super nice guy. He's like the silent assassin right there. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yep.
Before I move on, a little bit of business to take care of here from our friends at Caesars. The weather is heating up, and so are the promotions at Caesars Sportsbook. Today, anyone who is at least 21 years old and in a licensed Caesars Sportsbook state can create a new account and redeem the Caesars Sportsbook promo code ROTO15. That's ROTO15. The promo code gives new users a risk-free first bet up to $1,500. Visit Caesars.com/sportsbooks or download the Caesars Sportsbook app today. And don't forget to use promo code ROTO15 when signing up. I'm Jeff Erickson. I'm here with Deadpool hitter Rob DiPietro. Rob, we got a lot to hit on the top breaking news. A couple other guys I want to talk about here. Kyle Schwarber left today's game with a mild calf strain. You know, he's been huge. You know, as the Phillies have made this run without Harper in the lineup, Schwarber wasn't just a 2-month animal this year. He's had 34 homers, 69 RBI, 71 runs, even 6 stolen bases this year. I mean, the calf strain might like end all hopes of double digit stolen bases, but you may not be hitting for average, but you still profited quite a bit by taking him this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Another guy kind of struck out on. Only one team I have really struck out on the power this year. Across all my teams, power has just been brutal. So he would have been extremely helpful for sure. And he's just been really, really impressive all around. Yeah, not only does he have a great barrel percentage, you know, overall, but even versus lefties, I mean, he's just been brutalizing all types of pitchers. And, you know, this is going to be, he's going to be a big loss for them if he's forced to miss some time, you know?
Yeah,
because they need him. He's been a permanent fixture leading off every game. I guess, you know, Matt Vierling kind of steps back into, you know, some playing time, but not really going to help the Phillies so much. Sure.
Yeah. Hopefully it's short term, but we've seen calf injury. It's described as a mild calf strain. Now, I think that's a term of art, not necessarily official diagnosis. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We saw Josh Donaldson 1 year have a mild calf strain that took 4 months to recover from. So, or was that a quad? A quad or calf? I always forget.
I think it was a calf. Yeah. And I don't know, mild calf strain, just a calf strain in general. I feel like I would be on the couch, just out.
Oh, yeah.
With any 100% type of calf strain. So, you know, I know they have access to a bunch of stuff that we don't, but as a Met fan, he can take as many days off as he needs, but I think the Phillies are going to have to find some type of way to, I think, influx their team somehow, like at this last couple of weeks of the season, to, you know, really make a push, because they're like hit or miss. I feel like they're really on. There's some games I feel like, wow, I watched this team, like they're a really solid team, and sometimes they just look a little weak. But I think Bryson Stott and Bohm, if they keep playing, as you know, they keep getting better, the both of them, I think they really need them. This may be Bohm might lead off if Schwarber's out, you know, which is really be super for his value. He's really been bumped up to third. So
yeah, he has. You know, the Phillies, it's like Keith Hernandez always says, he doesn't want to watch them because fundamentally they're not a sound team defensively. But, I mean, they can do a lot of damage, and they've got some great pitching. Wheeler's been super strong. That turned out to be a great signing. You know, it was one of those, even in his first year, he delivered. They've got a good rotation. They stabilized the back end of the bullpen there. was kind of hoping Robertson was going to get more saves after he got that first one in his first appearance. But if you go back and look at even that game, Dominguez pitched a tough part of the Braves order in the eighth. So I probably was wish casting that Robertson was going to get more saves. It looks like it's going to be Dominguez getting most of those saves.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good mix. You know, this is not Joe Girardi. So I think if Girardi was there, it might have been one clear-cut guy, but they've definitely played better since they've got rid of him.
Yeah,
might have been something. No doubt. I don't know if that just happens. You know, we never know if that's just because it happens to be the team is playing better overall, you know,
right.
It could just be like they really weren't, you know, feeling his energy or his leadership. But yeah, I feel like Ranger Suarez has been in a little groove lately too. He added a cutter to his arsenal and he's been a lot better. He was actually on the wire in an OC of mine, and I didn't do the proper dive into him. And he got scooped up. I was like, Ranger Suarez, I don't know. He's blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I didn't need pitching. But then I looked at his stats like maybe 5 days after that and his what he's been throwing, and you know, he's got some good trends going on. And I was like, oh, well, totally missed that. I should have done this dive 5 days ago.
I'll tell you what, though. It's an infinite universe of players. If you did the proper dive on every player, you'd spend 95 hours on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm told that you don't have 95 hours. So, you know, don't beat yourself up too much.
I wish we did.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Julio Rodriguez, dude, back on Friday. We already talked about how got shut out on him. I have him in two leagues, one of which is the First Pitch Arizona Speakers League, where Jeff Zimmerman's a parsec ahead of the whole field. So it's nice that I have him, but it's going to take a lot to catch up to him. It's nice to get him back, though. And the Mariners did all right without him. I mean,
they did.
They took two out of three from the Yanks. You know, they got by, and that's all you can hope for sometimes.
I really love Sam Haggerty. I was watching. Yeah, he's such a good. He looks like a little peanut up there. He's really, but he's just a fighter. He just got a nice swing. I don't know. I like him. And I just, you know, part of me, the whole year he's been in my watch list, you know? And I'm like, when he starts to get time versus righties instead of just versus lefties, it might be the time to make the move. Well, now he's getting that time versus righties, but you know, here comes Rodriguez back. So,
yeah, they did make room by sending Lewis down, though. So that was kind of a positive thing.
And does Kelnick stay up when J-Rod comes back?
I don't think Kelnick's done much since hitting that homer off of Cole in the first week ago.
That's all he did, I think. That's all he did with it. So I don't know but if Kelnick, you know, goes back down, I think Haggerty might be a sneaky little add if you need some speed, you know, and he's got some pop. He's just been he's really good. Yeah, no,
he's worse than last year.
Yeah, he's worse.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say the same thing. He's just 40% strikeout rate since he's been called back up. It's just he had that one hit versus Cole. Everyone thought his life was going to change, but he's just – and I said this preseason and early in the season was that we can't underestimate the psyche of being the number one guy, failing, and then having this other number one guy come up and just crushing it, you know, like not even just the physical baseball side, just the mental part of having your shine being wiped out and recovering from that and recovering from like, so now in your head, are you constantly saying I have to get to J-Rod's level, I have to match his energy, his play, or are you just saying in your head just find something, you know, get, I don't know. It's just, to me, I feel like I know how I would be. I think I would like be crumbled, you know, and just be like, oh man, like I can't believe this just happened, you know, and that's hard to come. That's hard to overcome. I think he's going to need a change of scenery. I think he's going to need to be off that team and just get away from that, because I think that's very underrated. Yeah.
Well, and the whole cycle with him, and I'm guilty of this, by the way, among many, but the whole feeling impugned that he didn't get the call in 2020, that they, you know, stashed him down away at the alternate training site, all the talk about him in spring training, maybe he had this attitude a little bit there, maybe a chip on his shoulder and it backfired on him. And it's hard to kind of wipe that egg off his face. I don't know. It's You never know how a player's going to react to that.
100%. And I hear the same thing about O'Neal Cruz, you know, that he was very discontent with it. But, I mean, you gotta be professional. You got to be professional about it. Like, and not just baseball, it's just any job. You know, if you get passed over for a promotion or a raise, like, you're not going to stop working. You know, you got to get better. You have to keep showing them what your worth is. And, you know, I'm surprised just by scrolling through Twitter how many people actually held on to Kelnick when he got called up. Like, I can't wait to throw him back in my lineup in Fab Leagues. And I was just shocked because he gave you nothing to believe. And, like, I tried to ask a question, like, what are you expecting when he comes back? You know, like, are you expecting that number one prospect when he comes back? Or are you expecting Trent Grisham when he comes back? Like, what did you hold him for? You know, I don't know. I just think it was a bad hold for a lot of players who, you know, held him on the team, especially 12-team leagues.
You know, I think that's a great lesson. And you talked about it earlier about how we need to be a little bit more ruthless in 12-teamers to begin with. This is a perfect example, too. And it's also in the decision to add, unless you actually see, like, the progress there. Josh Lowe's another guy in that boat, too, that I held on to him too long, may still have him on one of my leagues somewhere there. It's just you got to find a way to get rid of move on from that. There's a big, wide universe of players, and we can do better.
He was showing signs, though, Josh Lowe, right before he sent down.
Both times.
Yeah. He was really starting to, like, I don't know. I always look at the, you know, I'm a big fan of the graphs, of the rolling average graphs. And, you know, whenever I took a peek at that on Lowe, I was like, oh, man, it was like he's getting it. It was like he's starting to understand it. And then it was just, nope, we're going to trade for Jose Siri. Put him in the outfield instead. Just really... You know, I wonder if they get like an Arozarena out of him. I don't know if it was you or Fred that said that in the podcast. And I was like, yeah, that's a decent comparison there. If they can get some kind
of, I think that was like, Fred.
Yeah, that was a good comp. I like that one.
Yeah, they're good at finding ferreting guys out like that. That's for sure. Yeah. Lance McCullers is going to return from the IL finally on Saturday. Remember when we had that? You know, he was pitching in spring training for a while, and then had all this happen. They're going to go 6-man rotation, replace it. You know, Jake Odorizzi's gone. McCullers slides into that spot. Do you have any McCullers in your life? What are you expecting out of him?
I don't have any of him. And he's another guy who was in the watch list. And every time I was ready to stash him, I found a way to talk myself out of it or found another need for my team. So I didn't grab him because I think it was a couple of my leagues where he was drafted and he was in the pool, you know, so I had the chance to scoop him up before he came back to play and I just didn't. And I think partly this was before Odorizzi got traded, you know, I think partly was, you know, where's he going to fit? Is he just going to be a reliever? Is he just going to throw 3-4 innings? But then he's been pretty good in rehab. He's been getting stretched out. I think 85, almost 90 pitches. He's never been a guy that I've been like truly enthralled by. Like, he's never been a guy like I've been so in on. And so I guess part of me is like, well, do I want to be in on him now when it might be even more question marks than before? You know, I did like that run he had last year. You know, I thought he was really starting to get better, you know, and kind of see that guy. But then he got hurt and it's just, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to expect someone to come back, I guess, from, I know it's flexor tendon and that's a surgery that I had. And while they say that it's not like Tommy John, it's still a real surgery, you know? So, but good team again, if he just goes 5, you know, keeps the walk down and gives you a chance to win, probably going to be pretty solid ad for a lot of the guys that picked him up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'm interested to see how he does. I probably won't have him a whole lot on my watch. I know he's already taken in the mains basically. So I already got one stash in each of my mains that, you know, Harper in one and Tatis in the other, and I've held on to Tatis all this time in the Vegas main. And we're going to talk about that in just a second here, but, I don't need another stash. So that's kind of my approach with that.
I think what's interesting about him is that last year, he was finding some more success by hitting the zone more, And even though his hard hit and his barrel percentage went up, he still kind of found a way to be successful. And I guess maybe with this even dead-end ball, more dead-end ball, you know, he might even be a little more successful with that kind of, you know, attack. But, you know, we never know these things until it plays out.
That's true. That's absolutely true. We're going to talk about live versus online drafts. But before that, every RotoWire Fantasy Baseball podcast is on the Blue Wire Network. Thus, we are going to play a couple of bats from them right now.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Thank you for your indulgence there, and we thank you, the Blue Wire Network, for having RotoWire on their podcast network. I'm talking with Deadpool hitter Rob DiPietro. I kind of posted something innocuous yesterday talking about the how strong in the main event, the overall main event, how it's the online drafters are doing compared to the in-person drafters. As of yesterday, it was the top 14 teams. It's now top 12. There's a lot. Someone who did a lot. Mark Bendar, Strikeforce ME. He is 13th overall in the main event. But the top, the top 12, and then there was like three in the top 30 that drafted live. I think it's a little bit anomalous this year, but you can talk. You know, the amplitude, the degree, the starkness of this sample is what jumps out at me. I mean, it's 74% of the teams are drafted online in the main event, but 90% of the top 30 were all online. So I feel like there's definitely an advantage this year. I can't place a full reason on why or whether it's just anomalous this year. There's been a lot of good theories going on. This Twitter thread's kind of blown up. I'm glad it has. It's going a few different directions, mostly some good constructive conversation.
Yes, absolutely. There's definitely some, I see Phil Dussault and Zach Waxman throughout some of their, their Excel wonders out there. God bless the guys who have that skills to just, scrape the data and show it. And I think me personally, Jeff, I love live drafting. I think I do better live. I always think of like the littlest things throw me for a loop when I'm home, it may be a bill that's like in the corner of your eye where you're like, oh shit, why am I looking at that? Or why am I thinking of that? It could be so many, I don't know, live drafts. I'm so locked in. And I like that you get a little more time. You know, you get the full minute, but then you get like that time where the guy's entering, the moderator's entering the picks. You get like a little bit, maybe more than a minute. And then, you know, when that time is ticking down online, you can really, there could be so many things that go wrong. You know, your computer could freeze. You can be on a page where you don't, like if you have too many tabs open, you could be scrambling back to get back to it. And then you maybe you got to search for a guy if you don't have him in the queue. There's, I feel like live, you could just wait until that 1 second. And even if you're having a tough time, you could just say a name, you know, and it'll be okay. You know, I do better. I won my live draft last year, came in fourth in my online draft, and I'm doing better in my live draft this year. So I'm in second in my live draft, third in my online draft. But I feel like I'm so much more locked in when I'm live. I love to read players. I love to see the faces people are making when I make a pick. I love to see the faces other people are making when they make a pick. You know, I don't know. There's something about, you know, gauging real life things, real life facial expressions, how quick a guy makes a pick, how ready they are. I don't know. I always kind of, even when I played sports, I was always interested like in reading body language. And I think that was from like the whole Michael Jordan. Like when I see guys tugging on their shorts, I'm going after them. You know, like I always felt like observe your opponents and try to use it to your advantage, you know?
Are you a poker player?
I'm not. No.
No, because it sounds like you are by reading your opponents like that. There's a lot of crossover between the fantasy sports community and the poker community. I'll leave it at that. It happens a lot. Same, you know, gamers. We're all gamers. I mean, I think that's the common thread. I mean, what we're interested in may vary, but we all like that competition, and that's an aspect of it. There, I love live drafts. Don't get me wrong. You know, when I posted that, I didn't mean to say like, don't do live drafts, but maybe make sure you do an online one too, in addition to your live one. And you know, for me, I'm doing better on my online one, my live one. I think that, you know, I think there's strong competition online, first of all. Even in the online championship, I'm getting smoked in the online championship this year, but I'm really not having a good year in the 12s. It's weird, but I'm not having a good year at all there. But I would say that, you know, when you go to Vegas, you get all the regulars. The regulars tend to be really good because guess what? There's a survival bias. If you're a regular, it means you've played enough and you haven't lost everything. You have had to win something or at least be a very wealthy human being. Otherwise, why are you still playing? So there's a survivor bias there. I would think that naturally speaking, you're going to get the better players that are going to be or willing to, you know, shell out of pocket and come live. Unless they're new to it and they want to just try out the real thing. And that's good too. And you can be new and still win, by the way, too. But I think the repeat customers, the people that play more and play in more leagues, chances are they're a better player. Not always true, but I think that kind of kicks into it a little bit there. But like in my Vegas main this year, it's Posma again. Yeah, thanks, John. Always there. It's not like he chose, you know, he didn't seek me out, but we happened to be in the same league. But Matty Woods leading our league. Matt Davis is winning our league. You know, Toby's right there. And it's Toby and Matty Wood and Posma. They're the top three. And I'm a standard deviation away and fourth, and I haven't come close to them in a while, and it's frustrating. But I thought I drafted a pretty good team there, but I just can't make up that extra ground. I mean, there's lots of other good – Rudy Gamble's in that league. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really strong players in that league.
It's a stacked league. Yeah.
It is. It is. Table behind me, there's Genstad. There's Spore. There's, I'm omitting something, you know, Zimmerman's in that league for crying out loud. There's a lot of great players in that league. And
that was the loud table.
Yeah, it was the loud table. That's right. You know, Michael Gauvier. Yes, that's right. FTN. That congratulations, loud. Michael. Very happy for him, by the way. Super nice guy.
Super nice guy. You know,
Justin Mason's in that league. It was the talk too much table. and by the way, the number two overall player last year, Emmett Rulin, too. So, I mean, yeah, it's a load. Every table is loaded. That's the takeaway. Like, yeah. Oh, good. I avoided Casey Cha. Oh, but I got Phil Dussault. Oh, good. Right. I avoided it, but I got Posma. Okay, great. You know, it's tough. But I feel like, I mean, you get a lot of great names in the online, too.
Yes. And
And because a lot of those guys are also playing online too.
Right, right. 100%. And I just looked at last year, and five out of the top 30 were in Vegas, and the rest of them were online and in the overall. So maybe it's a thing, but I don't know. I feel like, too, I like the point that you made about, you know, you're going to do multiple teams. You know, guys are going to have multiple teams. I wonder if this year's flow of the mains had anything to do with it, too, because I know, like, it normally is Vegas online, a lot of online, and then New York, you know, and this year got flipped around, right? Usually New York is first, and
right,
this year got flipped, and
right,
I wonder if that had any, like, anything to, you know, skew the way that other guys, you know, took hook on other teams, you know.
For sure. Main event season lasted longer than usual this year, because if you recall, they set the dates for the main event, and then the lockout ended. They announced the schedule, and we're going to start a week later. And we just said, and they said, well, we've got the rooms now. We're going to keep this the live schedule. So if you were Vegas first weekend, you had less information than anybody that did it later. And there were more onlines later than earlier. So that makes sense that maybe that's a built-in advantage to this year too.
I wonder if that's another thing Zach has run numbers on, the dates of the drafts according to the overall standings,
right,
early or late.
I'll counter, though, that everyone in your league still has the same information. Maybe not absolutely everyone in the overall. So you're in your individual draft, you're still competing with everyone that has that same information. You know, everyone that drafted later knew Julio was going to make the team. Everyone that drafted later, knew that, had that information. Sometimes that information was false. As the Jake McGee guy here, I can attest to that falsity. You know, I was like, hey, I was the I got McGee earlier than anybody else in first Vegas weekend. And then on Monday, Gabe Kapler said right now he's the closer. Woo, that translated so well. All right. Twitter victory laps before.
Right. Exactly. Wait until he gets a couple of saves. Mm-hmm. Oh man. And I think every time they added a league, or they added another morning league the day of, you know, it's just gonna be, it's probably guys who have a lot of teams and are just like, I want to do another team and diversify and pick this
and type have of the team. Bankroll, by the way,
too. And have the bankroll. Yeah. And it's such an interesting, it's a cool little thread. There was a lot of good stuff in there that guys were mentioning, about what makes them, you know, feel better online or live. It's pretty cool. And I agree with a lot of what was coming out.
So the highest placed late draft is, April 7th was the last day. Whoever had the most information in that draft, Zach Waxman, he's at 36 overall in the main, and he drafted on that crazy, stupid morning draft. Good for them. I mean, it's not stupid. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's fun, but you know what I'm saying? But first place overall is billionaire Bob Cramutola. He drafted on March 29th with this particular team. Second place, Puddle of Nud, 326. Jenstad, striker, is at third. He drafted the night before opening day on April 6th. So there's an interesting range in terms of when people drafted and how they did. So I don't know how important that is. I think it's useful, but you still have to, consolidate all that information better than everybody else in your league.
Yes, absolutely. Ned Donahue, too. He's got three teams in the top 20.
Is that good?
That's good. That's good. That's why I love doing the podcast with Todd Whitestone and reading his articles, because he highlights leagues, and obviously, you could do it on the computer too, but reading the articles, and he does such a good job. He's so into it. He's so into his work, and he does the percentage that the guy might win the league, and it's when you see continuous names, like, wow. And then it was like Phil last year, but then you dive into some of the teams. You look into the teams, and like Phil last year, he doesn't have a lot of the same guys on the same team, like on different teams. They did such a good job diversifying, but yet still nailing all their picks. So I just guess, you know, when you have it 1 year, you just got it, and that's it. But yeah, Bob, big buck Bob is up at the top, and got a pretty good lead right now. Yeah.
It's good to see you. Good to see you. Nice guy. I really like him a lot. Absolutely. Phil Dussault, you know, it's got to be hard to be coming off such a monster season. Everybody's kind of gunning for you in a way, or at least studying what you do.
Oh yeah.
And taking away what you do. I remember like Ron Chandler won multiple expert league titles in at one point, back-to-back Tout Wars titles, I think. And people learned his methods. They learned how to beat Ron. And you know, it's, you have to adapt to your people adapting to you, and it makes it a lot harder.
Yeah. It definitely does. And I know Phil very closely, and he puts a lot of pressure on himself to continue the success. And, you know, it's, don't sleep on him next year. That's for sure. Because he's at work figuring out what went wrong, and it's just so many great players. And overall, it's just awesome to be involved with so many, you know, people who are so dedicated to, you know, being this good at fantasy baseball, you know, it's really cool. Well, with all different types of, you know, ways that they do it, you know, I know like in one of my mains, I actually have more points than the team I'm doing better in, but I'm in third. I got Bob Katsourumpas is in fourth, and Bradley Libros, another great player who's like, we kind of share like the same views on guys. I've noticed that in Fab, you know, who he picks up and who he drafted. And, you know, sometimes we just, you know, like you said, you get stuck in a league with just guys who are just really on it, you know, and it's just, it's tough to break through.
I noticed that you're doing better in your individual league on the team that's actually lower in the overall. Like you're third in one league, second in the other. The one you're in second is like 115th or so. The one that is 58th overall is actually in third place. Just luck of the draw there.
I know. That's exactly. And it's just, and Todd in his article, what he does is cool when he lists all the teams that are first, second, and third, but then he gives an average for like the average score for a first place team, the average score for a second place team. And I had for my third place team, I was like 8 points above the average of an average third place team. And I had like the third highest third place score out of everyone in the main. So it's just
113.5 right now. Yep.
Yeah. I think the average was like 106 or something like that for a third place team. And that's just the way it is.
And yet, know? I've seen leagues where like first place is 103 sometimes if it's a really balanced league sometimes. Yeah. You know, yep.
Right.
You just,
those are the leagues that are shifting so much every day, you know?
Yeah. I think that's crazy. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Any other live versus online tips or observations you have before we sign off today?
I just, you know, just be present in the draft and just enjoy it. You know, I feel like it goes by so quick, you know, and I've actually done a lot of live drafts for Phil the 1 year he couldn't come from Canada.
That's right. And, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did, he won that overall too, the auction. And that was my first live draft at the NFBC. I had to auction for somebody else, you know, that I'd never met. And it was really,
talk about stressful.
It was so stressful, but I give props to Jason DuPont. He just, such a good guy. He came up to me. He goes, "Hey, the Dead Poet." He goes, "I know you." And he just really calmed me down. And then I talked to like everybody in the room. I was like, "Oh, this is a really like awesome space, you know?" And I just immediately, walk around, talk to people, you know, introduce yourself. I feel like, you know, it's really cool. And, you know, I was fortunate to have people come up to me and be like, "Oh, do you do that podcast?" You know? And I do. Yeah. And it's really, I listen to it. It's really good.
It never gets old.
I know. And like, and they were like, "Thank you for highlighting this, you know, this specific NFBC." And, you know, I think it's really cool. And it's cool. It's a great moment. And
yeah, I felt like my first NFBC main event, I felt the same way. It's like, oh, it's so cool you're here. I listen to you on Sirius and XM, or I listen to your podcast. This is before, you know, I got to know Scott. In fact, I met Scott at my first NFBC main event, Scott Jenstad, and that's how we became friends. He was cool. Ken Magner was there. You know, lots of people were so welcoming, and it just made me want to come back. Of course, they're welcoming because I was dead money apparently that first year too. But drafting John Lackey and finding out at the first break that he got hurt, you know, as the RotoWire guy, good job, Jeff. Well done.
And then you never know who you're sitting next to. Dean, I was sitting next to a billionaire hedge fund guy. I had no idea until I forget the guy's name. It was in New York.
They have people like that there.
And then, you know, just also seeing like people just show up with different, you know, I think I forget the fella's name, but he had mounds of paper, you know, crossing off and highlighting, and just to see other people's process, like, wow,
right. It's
like so fascinating. I was so like, I get so caught up in that because, you know, it's, everyone has their way, you know, and it's so cool, you know, how they'd get to it. It's really cool. I love it.
Yeah, it is. And you see a minimalist like Casey Cha, and then you see others that have like mounds of stuff in front of them there. It's remarkable. It's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is very cool. Rob, this is awesome. Thank you so much for coming on today. Good luck. You've got the draft champions next week. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. They're the first six rounds for 2023 on the Dead Pull Hitter podcast. It should be great. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, early ADP, Jeff. I mean, this is going to be, it's going to be fascinating. I'm pretty excited. And I think it's going to get a lot of, I think it's going to be great pod fodder, which it's a podcast name that's not taken, by the way. I looked, but the pod fodder is not taken.
But pod fodder, not so much.
Yeah, right. And it's just like a perfect name. Someone's going to do it right now as we're speaking. But
$1 billion idea given away for free.
Given away for free. But yeah, I'm truly excited about that. I'm just excited about, you know, finishing this season and getting right back into prep for next year. And just listening to the podcast like I normally do, reading RotoWire and getting all the tips I need to try to beat everybody.
Awesome. Sounds great. Rob, thanks a lot again. Appreciate you. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We got 2-star starters coming up tomorrow with Todd and Clay. Thanks for listening.